Well, hello everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Wisdom Chat, all things money and well-being. And my guest today is Steve Long. Steve is an independent financial advisor, whole of market advisor with Yorkshire Rose Financial Planning. Steve, welcome to this Wisdom Chat, and thank you so much for your valuable time. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and the work that you do?
Yes, it's very nice to be here. Nice to talk to you. The company, like I said, is Yorkshire Rose. We're an independent whole of market financial advice company. So we specialise in providing advice on life assurance, critical illness cover, income protection, investments and savings, pensions, inheritance tax planning, and making sure that all our clients have wills and powers of attorney to make sure that your estate is taken care of when you're no longer with us. So it's very, very important that we do that. And I've had clients for the better part of 30 years. So I've dealt with clients and families, mums and dads and grandmas and granddads. So I take great pride in the fact that those people have, like we were saying before, we've built up a level of trust with those people, and they accept the advice that I give them because they know it's in their best interest.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, isn't it, that the whole trust thing? Because I suppose a lot of your work, like mine, because we're talking about a subject matter that people don't always find easy to talk about, the need for trust is so imperative. And in a world at the moment, and particularly in our nation, trust has been a little bit short supply from the top down. But given the fact that you have dealt with generations of a family, demonstrates that that trust. I mean, what kind of things have you been able to do for people, or how have you approached it with people to perhaps put them at ease and reassure them and begin to build that trust, Steve?
If I see a new client and they're looking to invest money, I say to them, minimum 5 years. Less than that, it's got to be in the bank or the building society. You accept a very low rate of interest, which we're experiencing at the moment. You accept a high inflation rate, but your money is, in your eyes, safe to a certain degree. I mean, I call it your comfort zone, but it's an amount of money that you feel comfortable with in that investment. And then we move on to look at other types of investment, because we do an attitude to risk questionnaire. And based on that score that we get, that's where we put the balance of the money that you're happy to leave in a bank or a building society account. We do manage that money with lower charges and better performance than you may have had before. But we also do a review at least once a year to see whether or not your attitude to risk has changed, because generally as people get older, they get more and more risk averse. So we need to take that into account when we're looking after people's investments.
It's interesting that in the older generation, the people I've dealt with, it's very evident that they do think about the future and the level of risk. And as you say, having that risk aversion, it's understandable, isn't it? Because they just want to make sure that they've got enough money to see them through to whatever point. I was thinking, some of the people I work with and the way we operate is very much about not only helping people understand their emotional relationship with money, what drives their choices and behaviours around it, but also the practicalities of where am I at now and taking back control of their finances. So they're in a position, really, you know, like your questionnaires about risk and things like that, that they're able to answer those questions because they know exactly where they're at. So in a way, it's like preparing them. But in doing that, there are occasions where I come across people who really are not sure, have I got enough really to invest or put into anything at all? Now, I mean, if somebody, the thing that crops up time and time again is financial advisors, they're for the rich. And I always say to them, that's not true.
No.
And I said, the best thing to do when choosing a financial advisor, apart from being on the financial services register, is to have a chat with them and see how you feel with them. And I says, financial advisors are not going to bite. And they are very friendly people, but it is important that you feel comfortable with them. But equally at the same time, if you're not certain about what you possibly can do or whether you've even got sufficient to, say, invest in the market, what would you say to those people if they're contemplating this?
Well, what I do is I much prefer to see people in their own house because they're far more comfortable in their own surroundings and they're more open in what they want to talk about. So I look at the pictures in the house. I look behind them, what's, you know, the books, the CDs, all of that. And that gives you an idea of that person before they've even started talking to you. So we just have a general chat about them and their circumstances and what, in, if there's something in particular that they want to talk to me about, you know, we can talk about that. But equally, if there's anything else that comes up in the conversation, I have to deal with that as well. You know, because I had an instance last year where I was talking to a young couple and they'd got two young daughters. He was self-employed, she was employed, and I was doing a fact find. And I was asking the questions and I said, have you got a mortgage? Yes. Do you have any life cover with your mortgage? No. So blank face, but inside I'm going, what? And then a bit further on, debt. Have you got any debt? Yes, we've got some credit cards. Oh, how much is on the credit cards? £25,000. So I'm thinking, yes, you know, that immediately becomes my main priority for them, to make them aware of the consequences of not having any life cover to cover the mortgage and to cover that debt. Because I just said to them, imagine if one of you goes out of this house after our meeting tonight and gets involved in an accident and is either alive but can't work or passes away, how on earth are you going to stay in this house? You know, you're going to have to sell the house. You're going to have to move in with the in-laws. You're going to have to rent somewhere. And, you know, you could see it sort of sinking into them. And
yeah,
at the end of the meeting, you know, I was going to sort out some life assurance and some critical illness cover because the husband was self-employed. So again, we needed to look at income protection policy for him, just to make sure that people have this belief that this is cover, life cover is expensive. It isn't, but they've got to think of the consequences of not having it, you know, and sometimes you have to make them aware of the consequences of not having it.
Yeah.
I think that's how we were talking about trust. That's how the element of trust builds up.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. I think one of the sessions that I do with my clients is around looking at the future and what kind of things are there that I may not have thought about, you know, and you talk about things like lasting power of attorney, wills, and obviously then the protection side, should things happen. And it's amazing how many people are not aware of many of these things. Or the other thing I've found at times is people say, well, I'm still quite young. I don't really need to think about that yet. And I do.
Well, yeah, but
mind you, I've been there myself. You know, I thought, oh yeah, old. It's way off yet. And actually, I've learned over the years, the sooner you start to think about it, the better.
I'm just going to say that absolutely for looking forward to retirement, but coping with retirement. The sooner you start saving, either with an ISA or a unit trust or into a pension, the better, because the actual cost, the sooner you start it, and you know, we can have a target figure at 65 or whatever, but the sooner you start saving, the lower the cost is.
Yeah.
Because you're building up that pot of money over time. So it's very, very important that you start saving as soon as possible.
Yeah, the other thing as well about the pensions is the fact that I officially won't retire until 67. So I'm in that category. I don't know about yourself, but others, say of a younger generation, theirs may be later on. And I wouldn't be surprised if it changes again at some point in time. However, am I correct in saying that the longer you leave a pension in there, the more it will accumulate?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the state retirement age will go up to 70 very, very soon, because the average age of the population is just going up and up and up. And the number, there are children being born today who are going to live to be 100 and 100 plus. So it's very, very important that people start putting money away to provide, you know, if you retire, let's say you retire now at 65, a man is going to live to be something like 84. So, you know, you've got to have sufficient money to tide you over or to enable you to cope from 65 to whatever age you are. So when it comes to retirement, we have to do something called cash flow modeling, which basically says, what's your life expectancy from now? Let's say 65. What's your life expectancy? What level of income do you need? And what return can you expect to get from your investments? So we have to do a model for the client to either tell them their expectation is fine or their expectation is too high. So we have to, you know, make them realize what we need to do to enable them to achieve their target level of income.
Yeah, it's interesting times. We were just talking earlier, weren't we, about the rising costs of living, and when people start to look at, you know, higher sort of interest rates, and we're remembering what did you say earlier? 1987, 15% interest rates on mortgages. Heaven forbid that we would ever go there again. And I remember it so distinctly. It was very unpleasant. Very unpleasant. However, interest rates have risen, or inflation certainly has, 7.2%. The rising cost of living keeps going up on a daily basis. We've got the expectation of increased national insurance contributions in April, and also the price cap on energy being raised by the government. So really, the future doesn't look so rosy at the moment. And some people may be feeling quite anxious about it. And I'm just thinking, what could we say to them just to help them at this time and maybe sort of get their minds thinking about what they might be able to do for the future?
Well, they need to talk to people like you and I, because, you know, we've seen it before. I mean, I was talking about 87, but the stock market crash of 87. The market fell 30% in a week. And I rang all of my clients up and said, you know, you didn't invest your money for a year. You invested your money for a minimum of 5 years. And I went out to see them and I reassured them that their money was invested in the right place. And by January of 89, 13 months later, the market had recovered, you know, and they'd made up their paper loss. They'd made it back and went on to make profits on their investments. So again, it's like we were saying before with COVID and the lockdown, I've been keeping in touch with my clients, ringing them up on a regular basis just to see how they are, make sure they're okay. Do they need anything? You know, do they want to have a Zoom meeting if we can do it? You know, just to reassure them that I'm still there for them.
That reassurance is brilliant, Steve, because, you know, just thinking you could be forgiven for really looking at things as they presently stand and feeling quite anxious about the future. But you're right. oftentimes we live in a society where we have a short-termism mindset, but we have to appreciate that, you know, whether it's actual investments or our pensions, they are there for the long term, and markets do recover, things do change, and certainly the cost of living will ebb and flow. Okay, it's going up quite a bit at the moment, but there will come a point in time when things will start to alter and things will start to ease, and it's just really reassuring. And the fact that, you know, during that period of time that you talked of, that you phoned your clients just to make sure they were okay, I think, you know, it's nice. It would be nice to know that more people do things like that, that there's more sort of caring for others. They could say, oh, yeah, but they're your clients, you know, they pay you. But actually, at the end of the day, some of that service you don't necessarily have to do, but you do it because it's part of your service to them. And that's probably why.
Sorry, yeah. With a lot of clients, I am part of the family.
Yeah.
Because they know I'm there for them and I always will be there for them. Yeah. And they know they can ring me, like we were saying, they could ring me at the weekend. If they wake up with a worry about something, they can ring me. I've told them they can ring me, and if I can sort it out there and then I will. But if it's, you know, I have to wait till Monday or Tuesday, whatever, I will sort it and I get back in touch with them. And it's just that reassurance that they get.
That's excellent, Steve. I'm aware we're just out of time, so... Steve, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast here. I really appreciate your insights and input. For our listeners, it's Steve Long from Yorkshire Rose, independent financial advisor. Just take on board some of the things that we've been saying. I can well imagine that many people at this moment in time will be feeling quite anxious. But there are things that we can all do. So I hope what you've heard today has been helpful, and I wish you all the best. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Steve, for joining me.
Pleasure.